This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Bambi. Listen, HR manager salaries average $70,000 a year. Only Bambi gives you a dedicated HR manager for just $99 a month. Get your free HR compliance audit at bambi.com/accidentalcreative, spelled bambe.com/accidentalcreative. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, including the new book, The Motivation Code. Have you ever met someone who articulates a point of view that is just so obviously wrong to you? It is so obviously wrong that you want to call them out in the moment. You want to say, how can you think that? How can you possibly believe that to be true? And at the same time, the other person is looking at you and thinking, how can you not believe this to be true? It's so clear to me. It's so clear to both of you, in fact. How is this the case? How is it that two people can look at the exact same thing and come away with completely different impressions? This is important for us. If we're going to collaborate with other people, if we're going to lead teams of people who have different perspectives, it's important for us to understand how to see things clearly for what they are, to not allow our implicit bias to color the way that we see the world. We have to be able to see things clearly. Today's guest is going to help us do that. Her name is Julia Galef. She is the author of a new book called The Scout Mindset, Why Some People See Things Clearly and Others Don't. We're going to talk about the difference between a scout and a soldier, what the soldier is protecting, the purposes that a soldier mindset actually serves, and some of the signs of a scout mindset. How do we develop more of a scout mindset? Before we jump in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Bambi. Listen, when running a business, as I do, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap, an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month-to-month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. Listen, you didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to bambi.com/accidentalcreative right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's bambi.com/accidentalcreative, spelled B-A-M to the B-E-E.com/accidentalcreative. We thank Bambi for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's great to welcome to the show today, Julia Galef. She is the author of a new book. It's called The Scout Mindset. I love that title. Why Some People See Things Clearly and Others Don't. Julia, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be here.
So this is a topic I've been really looking forward to chatting about. It's something that, I mean, we're seeing play out writ large, I think, in culture generally. You have two people looking at the same set of data and coming up with completely different explanations of what's going on, you know, and both of them think that they're perfectly rational in the way that they're looking at it. And so really would love to dive into, you know, some of the dynamics that go on, like why we don't see things clearly. Really excited about this conversation. So a big part of the book is framed up around this difference between the scout and the soldier mindset. Mm-hmm. Could you share a little bit about those two mindsets and their differences?
Sure. So soldier mindset is my term for the kind of state that we humans are often in by default, where we're motivated to defend our pre-existing views or to defend a belief that we want to be true. And so that influences how we interpret evidence, you know, how we reason, who we trust. And the name comes from the fact that, you know, if you just look at the way the English language talks about reasoning and thinking, it's all very militaristic. So we'll talk about reinforcing our beliefs or supporting or bolstering our beliefs, almost as if our beliefs are, you know, a fortress or a military position that we're trying to protect from threatening evidence. And when we hear an argument against something that we believe, we'll try to poke holes in it, like poking holes in, you know, armor or a wall, or we'll try to shoot it down, or try to rebut it, which is also a military word. And in this metaphor, when we, you know, change our minds or say that we were wrong about something, that language is part of a metaphor of kind of defeat or concession. Like we concede a point, you know, it's like ceding ground in a battle, or even to admit that something is true. It's like you're admitting, you know, the enemy into your walls. And so, so that's why I use the term soldier mindset. And it's not, I haven't invented anything new here. I'm sure your listeners and you have heard this talked about under different names and different guises, like motivated reasoning or denial or rationalization or wishful thinking or confirmation bias. So these are all kind of facets of what I'm calling soldier mindset. And scout mindset is my term for an alternative to soldier mindset, an alternative way of thinking in which you're not, the scout's role is not to attack or to defend. It's just to go out and survey the landscape, survey the situation, and form as accurate a map as possible of what's really there, of what's really true. And so, you know, that the scout may hope to learn that, say, there's a bridge across the river where they need to cross or something. But above all, the scout wants to know what is actually true. You don't want to, you know, draw a bridge on your map where there's not actually a bridge in reality. So scout mindset is my term for essentially the motivation to see things as they are and not as you wish they were.
So if the other mindset is the soldier mindset, you know, we think of soldiers as, I guess, you know, fighting and protecting. You know, what is the soldier protecting? Why do people adopt that soldier mindset?
It's protecting all sorts of things. And I talk about this a lot in my book, like what is the purpose that soldier mindset is serving for us? What are we, you know, it's mostly unconscious. So we're not actively trying to do these things, but unconsciously, the things that soldier mindset is trying to accomplish are protecting our ego, you know, defending beliefs about ourselves that we're, you know, we're smart and talented and we're good people and we did the right thing and, you know, we didn't make a mistake, or if we did, it wasn't our fault. All of the things that kind of help us keep feeling good about ourselves, that's like a common thing that soldier mindset is intended to protect. And then soldier mindset can also be intended to, I'm not sure it's always successful at this, but often the intent is to protect kind of our status, our social status. So often the reluctance to not only admit to other people, but even acknowledge to yourself that you were wrong about something is born out of a, I would argue, misguided drive, but still an understandable drive to, you know, look strong and not weak, to look like a smart and competent and rational person who, you know, wasn't wrong about anything. So, and there are a number of other goals that I talk about in the book, but those are two of the common ones: protecting your ego and your ability to feel good about yourself and your life, and also your ability to, you know, look good to the people around you.
You know, it's interesting that is one of the markers that you talk about, because one of the questions that I'll ask senior leaders, if I'm working with an organization, or if I'm just trying to gauge, sometimes if I'm kind of giving away my secret here, but if I'm just trying to gauge even maybe the competence or trustworthiness of a leader, I'll ask them, what's something significant that you've changed your mind about in the last few years?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And it's really interesting the responses I get. And sometimes people say, well, I don't know. I just can't think of anything. And I'm thinking, this is a problem, because, you know, if you are truly leading, you're going to be learning a lot. You're going to be making a lot of mistakes. You're going to, you know, have assumptions that are proven invalid, and you have to be willing to confront those false assumptions when you encounter them and say, oh, you know, maybe it's not quite the way I thought it was going to be. But if somebody truly comes back to me with an explanation of something where their mind has been changed in some way because they confronted new information, I think, okay, this is at least a trustworthy leader. This is somebody who really is in it to try to get it right, not just to prove themselves right.
I do think that's a really great sign. Although I try to leave a little wiggle room in my judgment of other people, just because it can sometimes be hard just to think of an example on the spot, sure. Even if you know there are tons of examples. And I've been in that pickle before, where I'm like, I know this happens all the time, but what's a good example? But yeah, I completely agree. That's such a good sign about someone's ability to, you know, not just be honest with themselves, but also just their interest in learning what their model is wrong about, like how they could improve their picture of the situation about their company, about themselves. It's a good sign about their ambition to, over time, improve the way they make decisions. Mm. So, yeah, and sometimes the answers I've heard to that question are almost the opposite of what the question was intended. Like, I was reading an article or an interview with, I don't want to slander someone unwarrantedly, so I won't try to remember the name, but the interviewer asked them, "What have you been wrong about?" Mm-hmm. And their answer was something like, "Well, I was wrong to trust the wisdom of my fellow Americans to make a good choice about whatever it was, the presidential election or something like that. And I was just, I realized how wrong I was to expect people to be reasonable." And actually, the thing I learned was that people are much more unreasonable than I thought, which, that is a legitimate thing to be wrong about, but it's like an answer designed to make yourself look good and other people look stupid.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm always more impressed if the answer is something where the person has genuinely identified something where they think their reasoning, was flawed and they were wrong about something and not just wrong about other people being stupid.
Yeah. Because in a way, that's sort of a warped, twisted way of exhibiting a soldier mindset, isn't it? Where you're sort of putting up your defenses and saying, everybody else is wrong. I was wrong about how wrong everybody else could possibly be. Right.
I just thought that was funny.
That's funny.
Your anecdote reminded me of that.
So what are some of the signs of a scout? So we've talked about the soldier mindset. Obviously, we want to adopt more of a scout mindset. The soldier mindset serves purposes sometimes, right? But what are some of the signs of a scout mindset?
Yeah, so kind of just as we were just talking about, the mere fact that you feel like you're, rational and reasonable and objective is not in itself a great sign of you being a scout, because everyone feels like they're rational and reasonable and objective. And you can just look around at other people and see that's mostly not true. And so how do you know that you're not also, like everyone else, reasoning in a flawed way in all sorts of ways that are invisible to you. And so, and there are other things that people tend to think, I think incorrectly are signs of scout mindset, like being smart or being knowledgeable about the subject you're talking about. Those are actually not all that correlated with scout mindset. There's, on the one hand, there's your skill at reasoning, and then the other hand is the direction in which you point that skill. What are you implicitly trying to achieve with that skill? And you can use your smarts and your knowledge to, reason your way to a conclusion you wanted all along, or you can use your smarts and knowledge to reason your way to the truth or your best guess at it. And so I just like to emphasize that, being smart and knowledgeable is definitely not enough on its own. So instead, I like to focus on kind of behavioral signs, evidence, a track record of actually doing things that a scout would do and a soldier would not. So being able to point to things that you were wrong about and not just in a flattering way is definitely a sign if you actually do that and not just feel like, well, of course I'm the kind of person who would do that. So having examples of that, certainly being able to think of examples of telling other people that they were right and you were wrong is another good sign. In my book, I talk about how President Lincoln wrote this lovely letter to Ulysses Grant, who was a general in the Civil War. And Lincoln basically says to him, I was really doubtful that your military strategy would work. I thought it was going to fail. But in fact, it actually succeeded. And I just wanted to let you know that you were right and I was wrong. And he didn't have to write that letter. And in fact, some people, tried to shame him for it. But I thought that was a great sign of kind of intellectual honesty and a commitment to recognizing the truth, even if you weren't the one who had that view. So I could go on. Maybe I'll give you one more example and then end my long monologue. I think another example is being able to recognize good critics that you have. So, you know, there's probably plenty of people you can think of who are critical of either your political views or your lifestyle choices, or maybe they're critical of like the industry you work in, like tech or the military or whatever. I'm sure you've heard criticism of yourself or your views. And it's very easy to just conclude that all of your critics are, you know, stupid or ignorant or you know, misguided. And that is probably true of many of your critics, but it seems like it would be pretty unlikely if it were true of all of your critics, right? And so I think it's a good sign about someone if they are able to recognize, you know, at least some of these people, like to be able to point to some people who are critical of them and to be able to say, honestly, you know, I may not agree with this person, but I think they're being reasonable. I think they have a reasonable objection. I can see why they say that. And I don't think they're being an idiot. Mm. So I think that's another good sign of scout mindset.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, a lot of our listeners are what we would tag creative professionals. So they're people who work with their minds, they're solving problems every day, they're resolving complexity in various ways, whether that's designing something, running a business, managing a team, doing something of that nature. You know, and I could very easily see how a soldier mindset would begin to infiltrate and create issues, create problems, especially when creativity is needed, you know, creative thinking, fresh, innovative ways of looking at things. What are some ways that you see these two profiles, the scout and the soldier mindset, playing out in the creative process or in organizations where we have to collaborate with other people? And what are some things we can watch out for and maybe do better in order to be more effective working together?
Well, so I would just distinguish, like, I don't think being a creative person or engaging in a creative process is necessary. I think it's somewhat independent of the scout and soldier dichotomy. Okay. Because the scout and soldier metaphor is really about how you think about what to believe. And so maybe I'm misunderstanding how you're using the word creative, but I always think of a creative, the creative process as generating new ideas about something to create, which isn't, you're not necessarily like forming beliefs about the world or about yourself. Right. So, I mean, I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but the thing you said about, you know, well, actually, let me correct what I just said. I think it is important to have a scout mindset about once you've created something, the question of, you know, does it need improvement? Like, does it need revision? Right. Is it having the effect that I want it to have? And so in a sense, writing is a creative pursuit. And I certainly struggled as a writer with having scout mindset when I needed to be able to recognize, you know, oh, this paragraph that I just labored over for 2 hours actually no longer fits into this chapter and I should let go of it. And that can be a very hard thing to do to your own writing. Some famous writer, I think, referred to it as killing your babies. Like, yes. A writer must be willing to kill his babies. Yeah. And so in one of my chapters, I talk about kind of strategies to make yourself more willing to face inconvenient or difficult truths, even something relatively trivial, like I need to cut this, you know, this section from my book that I poured so much effort into. And so I talk about the difference between honest and self-deceptive coping strategies, where, you know, honest strategies are like you're in scout mindset, you're trying to see things clearly and not deceive yourself. And so, you know, a lot of the challenge of being in scout mindset, I think, is just taking the extra time and care to find an honest coping strategy instead of defaulting to a self-deceptive one. So, like, you know, if you're worried about something you might have done wrong, the self-deceptive way to cope with that worry is to just reassure yourself, no, of course I didn't, and to come up with reasons why the other person was in the wrong. And an honest coping strategy might look more like telling yourself reassuring things that are also true. Like, well, you know, a lot of people screw up. This is very common. And so even if I did screw up, it's okay. I'm not the worst person in the world. Or another honest coping strategy might be coming up with a plan for how you could make it up to the other person. And often after you come up with that plan, you're just more relaxed and more willing to acknowledge to yourself that you did in fact screw up. So to bring it back to the creative process, one thing that I would do to make myself more willing to, or more able to kind of honestly evaluate do I need to cut this section or not, is to remind myself I can keep this section in kind of, you know, in a folder to maybe use later. So it's not going to totally go to waste. If it turns out to be true that I should cut it, it's not going to go to waste entirely. And so often just recognizing that would make me more able to think clearly about the question, should I cut it or not?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And you know, to your point, sometimes we need those external mirrors, right? The people who can hold up a mirror to us and show us what they see. I know we both published through Portfolio.
Right.
And you know, my editor at Portfolio came to me before my 2018 book, and said, "Hey, chapter 6 isn't working. We need to drop chapter 6." And chapter 6 was, I wouldn't say like 6,000 or 7,000 words of writing. It was an entire chapter. And she said, but it just doesn't have a place in this book. And so we're going to do addition by subtraction. We're going to cut the entire chapter. And I mean, as you can imagine, it's really hard, right?
Yeah. I don't have to imagine. Yeah.
But yeah, that's right. You don't have to imagine.
Yeah.
But you know, the funny thing is we ended up using that same content in all different kinds of ways. And it was very useful. It just didn't fit in the book necessarily. Right. But had it been just up to me, I mean, to your point, it's really difficult sometimes to let go of things you've fixed your mindset on and you've thought, okay, of course this works. I wrote it. Of course it works.
Right,
it's here. It's
right.
It's in the plan. Like, it was in the plan from the beginning. We were always going to write this chapter. But having somebody else to speak truth to you can reveal some of those lapses in your own judgment.
Right. And of course it helps if the person speaking truth to you is someone who you trust.
Yes.
You know, you trust their judgment, you trust that they're aligned with you, they're not out to get you or anything, which is not always the case, but that does make a big difference.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Julia, if people want to learn more about you and the Scout mindset and all of your work, where can they go?
Yes, you can go to my website, juliagaliff.com. Or to scoutmindset.com, or just search for Scout Mindset, and you'll find the page where you can check out the book. It's coming out on April 13th, but you can pre-order it now. And there's also an audiobook for your listeners who like listening to things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, juliagaliff.com and Scout Mindset. And I also have a podcast. It's called Rationally Speaking, and that comes out every 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Julia Gale is the author of The Scout Mindset, Why Some People See Things Clearly and Others Don't. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure. It was so great chatting with you, Todd.
And again, as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time. Get in the